You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Well, it is indeed the second Sunday in Lent. We are well on our way toward Good Friday and then a glorious Easter morning. So I think it's a good time for us to pause and take a look at this thing called covenant that we read about in the Old Testament lesson this morning. The covenant with Abram that made Abraham the father of many nations, that took the long past childbearing years of Sarai and began the fulfillment of that promise from God, that covenant that made Abraham and Sarah the parents of many nations. God's promise was realized through faith. Listen to what Paul writes to the church in Rome regarding the covenant. Paul says, "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, there also is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, that is, God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that do not exist. In hope against hope, Abraham believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also. To whom it will be credited? To us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our wrongdoings and was raised because of our justification." So there's a lot to unpack in that passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. What we're discussing here is covenant. God is the maker of the covenant. And thanks be to God, he is also the keeper of the covenant. That famous promise that God gave to Abraham that he would and his children would possess the earth wasn't given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered into when he believed. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything that they're told to do and filling out all the right forms, getting all the right signatures, checking all the right boxes, if that's how things are done in the kingdom of God, it eliminates personal trust completely. And it turns the promise into a contract. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. It's a contract drawn up by lawyers and with plenty of fine print that only makes sure that you'll never, ever be able to collect on the promise. But if there's no contract in the first place, just a promise instead, God's promise, there's nothing on heaven, in heaven or on earth that can break it. It's an ironclad covenant. It's an assurance that the promise will be fulfilled. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and God's way, and then simply embracing Him and everything that God does. God's promise comes to us as a pure gift. It's the only way that everybody can be sure to get in on the promise. Because it's not up to our merit. It's not up to our skill. It's not up to our value toward the kingdom. It's a gift, pure and simple. Everybody gets it. Those who keep the religious traditions get it, and those who've never heard of the religious traditions get it. Everybody is in on the promise because Abraham is father to us all. He's not our racial father. That's looking at the wrong perspective. He's our faith father. Abraham and his faith are what carry us forward into the covenant. We call him father not because he got God's attention by living like some sort of saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody, when he was just Abram. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God says to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. God is the God who makes things out of things that don't exist. When everything is hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw that he couldn't do, but rather living on the basis of what God said he could do. And so he was made father. Yes, amen. Made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family. And Abraham believed. And here we are. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. He didn't focus on his own powerlessness, his own inability. He didn't focus on the fact that his 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise. He was all in, if I can borrow from Texas Hold'em. And he came up strong, ready for what God was going to do, sure that God would make good on what he had said he would do. And that's why it said of Abraham that he was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But the thing is, it's not just Abraham. It's us. It's you and it's me. Same thing gets said about you and me when we embrace and we believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. This sacrificed Jesus made us fit for God. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, which is where this Lenten season takes all of us, to the cross. That sacrifice of Jesus made you and me right with God. God is the God of the covenant. He's the covenant maker, and He's the covenant keeper. See, a covenant is a promise that involves trust and responsibility for each of the parties of the covenant that are involved. Unfortunately for us, a covenant with God does not depend on our ability to keep the covenant. Thanks be to God. That's a good thing, because we are weak and more than capable of falling away from the covenant in that weakness. Have you been human lately? Then you know what I'm talking about. We have good intentions. But since we're in a passage from Rome, we know where the road of good intentions leads, don't we? We're more than capable of falling away from the covenant. If it were up to us to remember the covenant that God makes with us, the covenant would be long forgotten by now. But it doesn't depend on our memory, but rather on the infinite, unchangeable memory of God. God remembers always. And His remembering us is the basis for our assurance and security. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am secure in God's covenant. Indeed, you are secure in God's covenant. If it were up to us, it would have long been forgotten, but God remembers. His remembering gives us security. We have to recall when God made the covenant of the Passover with Israel. You remember that promise? What He didn't say was, when you see the blood on your doorframe, I will pass over you. No, God said to Israel, when I see the blood on your doorframe, I will pass over you. Big difference. Likewise, the covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, is only possible through His work on the cross, not ours. Thankfully, through Jesus Christ, the new covenant is made and the prophecy is fulfilled. Which prophecy, Pastor? Well, let's start with Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Enter into the covenant with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and God's promise is that He will be merciful to our unrighteousness, to our fallen, broken human condition that we all live in and deal with and struggle with in this life. He will be merciful, and our sins and our iniquities He will remember no more. That's a pretty good deal. I highly recommend you enter into that covenant. See, when God looks at us through the covenant He made with us through Jesus, all He sees is the pure, righteous, cleansing blood of Christ. By choosing Jesus, we fulfill our part of the covenant, and God, who's always faithful, keeps His part by forgetting our sins and remembering them no more, by casting them as far as the east is from the west. And so, this Lenten season that we're in, I encourage you, examine your heart and mind and discern whether or not you have entered into the covenant relationship with God, the only way that you can enter it, through Jesus Christ, believing on Him and accepting Him as Lord and Savior. The Savior part gives you pardon for your sin. The Lordship part means that you are in a lifelong relationship with Him and you live into that relationship through this whole process we call sanctification. Choose Jesus, you are justified, pardoned, forgiven. Live your life in accordance with Jesus and His ways, and you are sanctified, holy, righteous, destined for glory. Everybody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.